Yes, Jesus is still the deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. The Bible tells us that him who the Son sets free is free indeed. And how exciting it is to see the people constantly set free when we learn to minister in deliverance. Now, some people that hear about deliverance, they say, well, it's just psychological. I have somebody on the program today that's, well, she's certainly a good person to ask that question to. I'd like to welcome to the program today Dr. Twyla Fox. Yes, she's an MD and psychiatrist from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Twyla, good to have you on the program.
Good to be here, Everett.
Now, Twyla, you are a good person to ask this question to concerning demonic exorcisms. Now, in your practice of many years psychiatrically, have you seen demonic activity out there?
I certainly have, though for years I did not know that it was demonic activity. I thought that it was just psychological problems until I began to get the nerve to ask people. And I remember the first girl that I asked. She'd been my patient for 2 years, and she was from New York, the state of New York. And it just didn't make any sense. She was on antidepressants. She was always slicing around on her wrists and just bitter and angry at everybody and the whole world and a chip on her shoulder all the time. I finally got the nerve one time after I was spirit-filled and began, that means baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I called her by her first name, which I shall not mention now, and I said, honey, did it ever occur to you, did you ever think that this might be caused by demons? And she looked at me with the slightest, wryest smile, and she said, I thought you'd never ask. And
she knew all the time that there was something in there.
She did, and had a Catholic upbringing, but when I asked her that, and she said, I thought you'd never ask, I said, have you been thinking so too? And she said, yes, for 2 years. I've been waiting for you to ask me or say something. She said, I thought if I said anything about that, you'd really think I was crazy and put me away.
She was hearing voices or something?
No, but the emotions were so turbulent, and she could turn as vicious as a snake all at once, and she had such an unreasonable anger at everybody and everything and herself all the time. She could not forgive herself. She hated herself for this and that. And she had, let's face it, she had sin in her life. And she couldn't forgive herself of those things. And that was just really opening up a can of worms when I asked her that question.
But she knew there was something in there that really wasn't her, that was coming forth and taking over and causing her to do things that she never... Well, she really didn't mean to do.
That's correct. And I told her at that point what I had learned about demonology and told her that at her next session we would be praying for her. And I was really green about the matter at the time. I had not a lot of instruction except as the Holy Spirit taught me. And when she came for her next session, I began to pray over her as rather methodically as I had been taught to do. And as I began to pray, one glance at her eyes revealed that she was no longer in control. Mm. I looked and I saw another entity, another personality looking out of her eyes that was the most pure look of hatred I have ever seen in my life. Her knuckles had turned white as she held onto her chair. She wanted to literally, it was a wicker chair, and she looked like she was going to throw it through me. And I glanced at my secretary who was helping me, and she had turned as yellow as a gourd. And such was the demonic power coming against us in our ignorance. And I asked her at that point, I said, and she had said that she, previously in the history, I'd found out that she did know the Lord Jesus, that she had been saved. And at this point, I tried to remind her, I tried to address her and get her to speak that she knew Jesus. And I said, and she just gritted her teeth and pursed her lips and shook her head no and snorted through her nostrils like an angry bull. I said, will you just please say the name of Jesus? Mm. And she screamed no at me.
Was she born again, Twyla?
I believe she had been saved. She was of a denomination that definitely teaches the born again experience. So I believe that she had been. And finally... It occurred to me to remind her that the Lord Jesus Christ was standing right before her. I said, he loves you. I said, he's standing right before you. And she had, at this point, both hands folded, doubled up in fists, as if to strike me, in a fighting position. And I said to her, I said, will you unfold your hands? Will you open your hands? No. I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And she didn't respond except with a little groan. And I said, Jesus Christ. And the Lord showed me, he was standing right before her. He had his hands nail scarred open right before her. I said, will you at least place your hands in the hands of Christ? She looked, I saw this spirit weaken as her will took over. She reached her hands out and she, and I could see that in her spirit, she knew she was placing her hands in the hands of Jesus. And I looked, and right before my eyes, the index finger of each hand began to unfold slowly, and then the middle finger, and one finger at a time, those hands unfolded until they were relaxed. And at that point, this was the exertion of her will for her deliverance. Mm-hmm. She slumped forward in her chair, began to weep, and the power was broken of the devil.
And, of course, that was the key. As she made the decision to go for it, to go for the freedom, to come to Jesus, it's when we get our eyes on Jesus, when we come to Jesus, that deliverance comes about.
And he was present, and he did set her free.
Great.
We did go ahead and pray a lot more for her that day to rid her of other entities, but she went home. She wrote a letter about a week later, and she said that she went home. She got in the shower so no one would hear her. She sang Amazing Grace, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. She sang the song she learned as a child at the top of her lungs. She said, I was taking a shower bath on the outside, but I had already been cleansed on the inside.
Amen. You know, Twilight, also, when you first started telling about this case, she was hesitant to mention demons. And when you finally did, she was actually relieved. I wonder how many people out there, listeners, perhaps are having that same experience. They're afraid to mention it to anyone because they're afraid that the person will think they're nuts, you know. Because, let's face it, it is a weird subject, and we've had all the Hollywood influence about it. But one thing about Deliverance Ministries, that's why we formed, was to put this particular part of the gospel out before the people, that there's nothing to be ashamed of in being oppressed by demonic activity. The fact of the matter is, it's good news to find out it's a demon. Because you find out it isn't your personality at all that's been causing this. It's another entity that can be dealt with and cast out in Jesus' name. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it was. And that day she was delivered from depression, from suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. All the time she was thinking of suicide and planning it. Mm-hmm. And had attempted it, overdosing and such. And she was delivered from that day. And anyone who truly wants to be free and who will commit themselves, you see, deliverance is a way of life. After we're delivered, we are delivered that we might serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
For when one of these days we'll stand before God the Father, and he's going to say, what have you done with your life? And the only real reason for my living is that I serve my Lord, because the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, mm-hmm. peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And as you and I were just discussing, real excitement and real the world has a word, fun living, but my life is so much above that.
Oh.
It is amazing. It's full of joy and full of victory in the name of Jesus, and my rejoicing is in seeing captives like this young patient completely set free and pick up her Bible, begin to learn of the Lord, learn to commune and have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and go on free of sin and not giving place to the devil and taking back the place that she had once given him in her life.
Amen. Yes, and as we found, just as you did, that lady then was free to move into her ministry unencumbered. It's so obvious that the other side is trying to dampen our ministries, and it's logical, to hold us down so that we can't move ahead and serve him. But yes, even from the point of being a deliverance minister, as we are, Twyla, and others now that are getting hold of this, what high adventure it is, seeing Jesus set the captives free. Well, here we go again. More good news and more exciting testimonies on how God is really doing it. Yes, as we're finding out many things in our lives, even that we thought were us, well, what good news it is to find out some of these negative traits that we thought were our personalities, to find out they're not us at all. Well, that's why Jesus, in Mark 16:17, told believers in his name to cast out demons. But who would have recognized the demons? Who would have thought they might be some negative traits like some of us have had and have ongoing in our lives? Well, the good news again is we can be free. Well, here on the program today, I'm really excited to have Dr. Jeannie McCants. Good to have you, Doctor.
Thank you, Everett. Thanks for inviting me.
Doctor, you're an MD and psychiatrist, is that right?
That's right. I'm a psychiatrist.
How long have you practiced now?
Well, I've probably practiced for about 12 years, 13 years.
Okay. Well, let me also get some spiritual history on you. How long ago was it that you were born again?
I was born again probably the age of 5 in the Catholic Church of all places.
All right. Well, way back. And then how about this baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues?
I don't have a particular experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I kind of got my prayer language in a different way than a lot of people do. I just kneeled down one day and said, Lord, I give you my tongue, I give you my mouth, and I just started uttering whatever came to my mind and asked the Lord for it to be his prayer language, and it is.
Hallelujah. Well, no doubt you've seen power in your life. You've seen the Holy Spirit, obviously, moving and coordinating your life, and of course, knowing you, I see that power work in your life, and the Holy Spirit is coordinating you in a tremendous way these days. What have you seen going on in your life through these years, and as you got into practice, and particularly, and how did you happen to get introduced to this part of the gospel called deliverance?
It started real early. It started my first clinical year of my psychiatric training. And the Lord sent me throughout the next two and a half, three years about a dozen multiple personality disordered patients. And most of these patients were sexual abuse victims from childhood, ritual abuse victims from childhood, and it became very obvious just a short while into the treatment that there was a lot of demonic interference and demonic strongholds. And at that time, I did not understand what to do with it, and I did not belong to a church that understood what to do with it or even acknowledged it. And so I just purely went to the Bible and was on my knees a lot during that time, felt totally unable to help these people unless God did something. And so God began to show me a lot of things, and one of the more important things was that the believer has the authority to cast out demon spirits. And it's by simple faith, and for me, with the laying on of hands and finding out what the devil was doing in that person's life, calling that devil by that particular name and pronouncing in the name of Jesus that it must leave. Now, in those days, I had lots of struggles with it and would spend sometimes hours in deliverance. But because I was a psychiatrist, I was continuing to follow those people over several years of their treatment. And what I was discovering was that deliverance was not just a one-time deal. It was an ongoing process, and it seemed to come in layers corresponding with the layers of healing that these people were experiencing. And I think that that's an important message about deliverance in this time, because there is a lot of Christians that want a quick fix, and the devil moves into that and says, well, it didn't work, so God can't set you free. And they get discouraged and hopeless or suicidal, or they get mad and turn their back on God.
It's an ongoing process, certainly. That's what we've seen in deliverance ministries. I guess we'd all like a quick fix, but it just isn't the way it works. It is an ongoing process of plugging into Jesus and staying there. Amen?
That's right. One of the reasons it is because we are conceived in sin and shapen in the iniquity of our forefathers. Paul said that we were in Adam. And so when that egg and that sperm come together to form us, that one cell fertilized egg carries all the generational curse from the father's line back to Adam and the mother's line back to Adam. And so every single cell of development that we, from embryonic to fetal and then to the toddler, every growth is within the sin of Adam. And so to shed the old Adam or the flesh man and to be crucified to the flesh man requires a complete transformation into the new creature in Christ, where old things pass away and all things become new. So we're not talking about just demons hanging on or demons hanging around. We're talking about the demonic being within us, every millimeter of us.
Yeah. And certainly you and I both have had plenty of deliverance. You know, some people think they're immune. Well, I to me, after this many years in it, since 1978, from what I see, it'd be a rare guy that doesn't have some stuff going on and needs some ministry.
Everett, I don't think there's any such thing as anybody not having any demons. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian can't get to the point where there's not any demonic influence in their life. I don't know. I'm only 40 years old, so I really don't know. But I think that deliverance, the ministry of deliverance, is for the Christian. It is not for the unbeliever. And so the Great Commission was to lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed, and to cast out devils in my name. And that is a command for everybody in the body of Christ, and that was directed for God's people.
Well, Dr. McCants, in your practice, of course, some of the people listening still have a hard time imagining there are even demons around in the first place. Have you seen some surprising things take place as you have ministered where it's extremely clear there are demons there?
Well, the very first lady I ever did deliverance with, she received the Lord as her Savior, and there was a complete change in her countenance, her conviction. She was a Mormon, and she received the Lord Jesus. So many things changed about her, but many things didn't. And so I started ministering deliverance to her, and she would come over for a couple times a week, and for 3 or 4 hours, I would minister deliverance. There was so much violence during those deliverance that I had to tie her down, with her permission, of course. And I was spit on and clawed and slapped, and I didn't have the knowledge at that time to bind all the manifestations. I was just a little naive little Catholic girl that was believing God and had nobody to help me. I've had demons speak out at me, curse me. I've had demons by a command in the name of Jesus tell me what their name was. There's total countenances changes, body movement. I've never had a situation quite as bad as The Exorcist, but at this point it would not surprise me for a head to turn around and the whole ball of wax.
I haven't seen that 360-degree rotation either, Dr. McCants. But, we have seen a lot of strange things. But the bottom line is, what good news it is, as we continue to minister and finally get those things on out, we find the real person is up to the surface, and that new person's really there, always in there, really, but just covered over by these demonic entities. So is that your experience in your practice?
That's right. Deliverance is absolutely necessary with inner healing for the psychiatric patients that the Lord sends me. There is no such thing, in my opinion, as complete healing without deliverance.
Yeah, that's to try to counsel without applying the spiritual power is kind of a fallacy, isn't it? I mean, you're going to miss the most major part of helping them.
And it's going to slow down the call of God on that person's life. We have been inundated with false theology about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the need for that at this time. And that's been a scheme of the enemy, that's been a lie from hell, to stop the sanctification and growth of the bride of Christ.
Amen. And that's we know in John 10:10, they come to kill, destroy, and steal. But also, they certainly are there to block our ministries, everyone's individual ministry. If you've got several dozen spirits on assignment tormenting and harassing, well, your ministry probably is not doing too well.
Or because of the lack of joy and peace in your life, there's no way you're going to even be able to walk in the call of your life because you're so bound up in your own personal problems.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. McCants, would you say that Jesus is still setting the captives free?
Hallelujah, he certainly is.
And, you know, isn't it exciting to see the reality of the Word perform itself and people change as we sit down and minister one to another? Well, Dr. Jeannie McCants, M.D. psychiatrist, thank you for sharing that beautiful testimony.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Jesus is still the deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. The Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, we're learning to pull the strongholds down. and even people in the medical field are pulling the strongholds down. They're finding that not everything is medical, but they're also finding that not everything is spiritual. That there's a balance, there's apt to be the flesh, there's apt to be the spirits. And it's not always easy to tell. But here to share with us today in this area of deliverance, and I'm excited to have her on the program again, I'd like to welcome Dr. Twyla Fox, MD and a psychiatrist. Dr. Fox, good to have you again.
It's good to be back with you, Everett. God bless you.
Twyla, let's talk some about this area that that not everything is medical, but also that not everything is spiritual. What do you find in your work in the medical and the spiritual area? You're actually one of the few people around that's qualified to wear both hats.
Well, thank you. You're kind. I would say that there must be balance in all things. And in this field, we cannot call everything a demon spirit that we wrestle against. Now, many of those things that we really wrestle and struggle against are the demonic spirits. However, we, through our natural mind and our natural appetite, which is synonymous with the word flesh, or our carnal bodies, our beings, we have permitted at some point those things to take hold of us, either actively or passively. We actively open ourselves and give place to the devil through our sinful lifestyles, or we have neglected to fill ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and holiness, so that we have inadvertently opened ourselves to the enemy.
It sounds to me like, Twyla, that you're talking about Galatians 5:19 quite a bit here, the works of the flesh.
Yes, we do have a natural mind and a body, and we have physical appetites. We have thoughts that go through these minds, and this Christian walk must be a walk of discipline. In any area of life, if we would gain any measure of success, we must practice. We must exercise self-control. We must exercise good judgment and good habits. And wherein we don't practice good mental health, we don't practice good spiritual health, and discipline ourselves, control ourselves, but rather than giving vent to everything, every thought that comes through the mind, then we're going to get into trouble. As you were discussing just a moment ago, there is a natural anger that can be healthy and appropriate. On the other hand, there can be an anger that is violent, that comes unbidden, that is illogical, that consumes and gains control of the individual. And in those kind of cases, ordinarily there is a spirit of anger or violence or whatever, or temper, that comes upon that person. And they would need it to be cast out by someone who is knowledgeable in that area. But at the same time, we are to control ourselves, not to give place. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't nurse it. Mm-hmm. Don't nurse a grudge. Don't wallow in it. Don't justify yourself for all of this, because it tends, with the lingering of it, to give place to a spirit being attracted to you and taking up lodging on your shoulder, in your mind, or in your fists, or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Certainly our experience, Twyla, is just that way. We see out here that there are natural levels of everything as we work with people, natural anger levels, natural lust levels. If we didn't have lust, I mean, or at least some interest in that area, we'd probably never reproduce, would we? And anger has its place, just as Jesus had anger in the temple when he turned the tables over, the money changers. So we see natural levels of this, but when it's chronic, is what we normally counsel people when they call. An obsession, something that's overcoming in their life, it may not be a demon, but it's probably worth checking out at that point. And as I've mentioned to people from time to time, I like to shoot first and ask questions later. You know, there's no downside in coming against a suspect that you might have on a list here. Yeah, I'd rather, when I interview people and get a suspect list up, I'd rather have too many on the list than too few. And if there isn't a demon there, well, in Jesus' name, it's not going to bother the Lord, you know. But if it's a demon, it'll sure start squirming.
I would like to say something that would be of a preventative nature here, and also something pleasing to the Lord. Paul has several phrases in his writings, one being Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then another place he writes, till Christ be formed in you. so that if we are actively throughout our daily lives filling ourselves with the love of God and meditating upon the fact that as born-again Christians, we carry around the Lord Jesus within our bodies. And with Him and the help of the Holy Spirit, as we grow and the Holy Spirit gains access to our minds and we have developed an intimate relationship with Him, we will quickly know and be repulsed by that which is repulsive to Christ. Mm-hmm. We will shun the wicked and choose the pure and the holy. We will separate the precious from the vile, as Jesus did. And I believe that as we grow more to be like Him, and as we practice knowing the presence of God in and around us, we will obtain deliverance by godly living. Yeah. So I believe that when the enemy sees that we have set our faces like a flint to follow Jesus, and we're going to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and the knowledge of the Word of God and in the fellowshipping with Jesus on a daily basis through prayer and through praise, then the enemy says, "Aw, shucks," and he turns tail and runs.
Amen.
And how many times as I have set a patient down and began to pray deliverance over them as I led them through the prayers of repentance. And repentance is a very important activity. But as I've led them through those things and confession of those sins they've indulged in, or forgiveness and releasing of persons they've held a grudge at, I will see the tears begin to flow from their eyes. I will see a smile and a quick eruption of joy. As they begin to get deliverance, the shackles begin to fall off,
yes,
even at that stage of the game.
It's the person making a decision, again, to come to Jesus and to follow Jesus, to reach out and touch His garment, to follow His teachings, to repent, to turn away from where they've been and come to Jesus and His righteousness. That's that's certainly where deliverance starts, and that's why we see deliverance come about in many ways. You do not have to have just a sit-down deliverance with somebody on a one-to-one. Each person, many times when they're born again, people are delivered right there. And then other times it seems to vary. Were they truly repentant? I don't know. Or maybe they had some unforgiveness and bitterness and that kind of thing.
I have a thought upon that. Everett, I do not believe that in general today the depth or the level or the quality of the new births are of the quality or the substance that they once were. At our church in Tulsa, we've been having a revivalist preach. And he said, "Folks, today we're having too many dry births."
Mm-hmm.
Dry births are births with no tears. They're births where they get up from the altar, if they even knelt,
mm-hmm,
in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They say a quickie 5-minute prayer or a 5-second prayer, acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ and that I believe Him. Nothing has happened. It's only in the mouth and in the mind. Nothing has penetrated that heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the old-fashioned kind that we used to see at an old-fashioned altar where they got down on their knees, acknowledged, "My God, I am a sinner. I have lived in a way, unbecoming." And when we truly repent and recognize our need for the Savior, then He comes in full measure when we have opened in full measure to Him. And when we get up, we don't need anybody to tell us to quit drinking and smoking and cursing and a life of sin and adultery. When we get up, we're changed, and we have a relationship at the heart level with God the Father, and we are new creatures in Him, and old things have passed away. Now, that's the way it ought to happen.
Yes. Well, here on the program today, I'd like to introduce Dr. Elaine Kelly. Good to have you, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let me get a little background on you, if I may. Now, what type of a doctor are you?
I'm a doctor of chiropractic.
Okay, and how about some spiritual history? When was it that you were born again?
I was born again in 1974 after being led to the Lord through a Bible study in a neighbor's home nearby. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I'd been a Christian all my life, but didn't realize it until I got into the Word that I really wasn't. I had my 3-year Sunday school plan and gone to church about every Sunday, and I really wasn't a Christian.
Probably true with a lot of people that have gone to church and what have you, and they never really got around to becoming a born-again Christian. They sat in the pews. I think we've all seen some of that. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues?
Well, that occurred about 5 months later. We had a lay witness mission in our church, and my husband at the time and my 4-year-old son accepted Jesus at that time, and I became baptized in the Holy Ghost at that time, speaking in tongues. And praise God, the very first words that I said were Abba, and I had no idea at the time that that was Hebrew for Father. And after that, I went home and just started talking in the Spirit, and just, you know, little by little it grew, and I just tell everyone, don't be discouraged by not being able to speak fluently in tongues immediately, because you might not have that.
It seems to vary with everyone. We administer quite a few after deliverances. We administer quite a few baptism of the Holy Spirit, and yes, it just seems to vary with everyone. Some don't hardly get any mumblings at all in the beginning, and then there come the reports back later. Others, I'm almost startled. Sometimes here comes a whole flowing language out, you know, like they've been doing it for years. And it just varies with everyone, kind of like deliverance. Every deliverance is different. Well, Elaine, if I may call you that, share with us kind of your testimony. You spoke at the Full Gospel Businessmen's recently, and it was an exciting testimony. How about sharing with the listeners?
Okay. Well, I started walking with the Lord, and I did fall back. My ex-husband and I ended up in divorce. I went back to school. The Lord just opened all kinds of doors for me to go back to school, and I became a chiropractor just 2 months before I was 50 years old. And during the time I was at Palmer, I was in 2 auto accidents. And prior to that time, I had already had 2 auto accidents, so my neck was already kind of a wreck, but chiropractic had always helped me before, but at this point it wasn't helping me. And I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to school for, you know, to become a chiropractor if I'm not going to be helping anybody? This is, you know, it's not a financial thing. This is not why I want to go to school. I want to help people. And a friend of mine, I had tried every chiropractic technique available. A friend of mine took me to Tulsa, Oklahoma with her over break, and I was going to school in Danforth, Iowa. So that was quite a ways to go to get adjusted. But after the adjustment, I no longer had headaches, which I'd experienced daily on a daily basis. Chiropractic had helped alleviate the pain somewhat, but I still had daily headaches. And so I had to learn this technique. It was called NUCA, National Upper Cervical Chiropractic Association. It's what the acronym stands for. And so I set to work and learned how to do this technique. And when I graduated, I was licensed in Iowa, Oklahoma, and Nevada. And I started practicing near home in Iowa. And then I had an opportunity to move to Oklahoma a year and a half later to start building my own practice. And so that's what I did. And little did I know, Oklahoma is the Bible buckle. No, it's such so great being here. And I just began growing more and more in the Lord. And I pray all the time for my patients. I don't adjust without praying first. And about a couple of weeks ago, I had my first real miracle. God just really blessed a little girl that goes to our church. Well, I call her a little girl because she's in her early 20s. Came in. Her mother was a patient prior to this time. She came in and started telling me her history. She had been in 4 auto accidents. And the Holy Spirit just led me to pray for her right then and there, because I could see in the spirit of destruction on her. And I just rebuked it by the blood of Christ Jesus and cast it away from her. And I went and proceeded with the exam, and her ranges of motion were just really, really limited. I could see where she really had had a lot of damage in her spine. And I went ahead with the x-rays and started analyzing them. And I looked at them, analyzed them again, and I thought, there's nothing, there's no misalignment in this vertebra. And And it just dawned on me, hey, the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they will be cured, they will be healed. And so we went back and did the ranges of motion and the orthoneurals again. And she had above and beyond normal range of motion. And she'd been having heart problems and difficulty breathing. Her mother told me...
You couldn't do that range of movement before.
No, absolutely not. I have that documented in writing. And her mother said all afternoon that she had a warm sensation on her chest. And this, and her mother also clarified that she actually, the daughter actually appeared to be taller. And when the spine straightens, this is what happens. And the girl herself remarked when she left the office, she says, I feel taller. and the Lord has just really, really blessed her. And she's just on fire for the Lord now. So it's, and her best friend is too. It's just amazing how God works. It's just amazing. Then a couple days later, a former patient that had been coming to me, had just started coming as a new patient prior to, before the Christmas holiday, I had adjusted her very first alignment had shown 5.5 degrees of laterality in her very top vertebra, and she was very out of alignment. And after adjusting her, I was only able to take out 3 degrees of that laterality, so she still had 2.5 degrees according to the film. And so she came in right after the holidays, and I checked her, and her misalignment was different. I could tell because her hip differentiation was a degree more than when she'd even first come to me, and her neck was leaning to the opposite direction. And so I knew that I had to do something different. So I told her I was going to have to take more films before I would dare adjust her. And so she wasn't able to at that time. So she came back at a later time, and I rechecked her again, and the same problem. And so I was going to take the films, and the other doctor, Dr. Clark, was taking film, so I couldn't at the time, so I just did ranges of motion with her. And her ranges of motion were limited even further than before. And so I went in and started taking the films, and she shared with me that she was going to have surgery the following week, and she was very concerned about this because when she'd had surgery before, she'd gone into shock. And so the Spirit again led me to pray for her, which I did, and she... I rebuked the spirit of destruction again. He's a biggie. and just prayed for healing for her. And she told me when she was sitting in the chair being x-rayed that she had a burning-like sensation, a warm sensation going down the back of her leg. And she says, it feels like you adjusted me, Dr. Kelly. And I went in to analyze her films. And her films showed no laterality. And this is proof that the Holy Spirit adjusted that woman, because I also did ranges of motion afterwards and checked her posture. They were back to normal again. And that's proof on x-ray before and after.
Hallelujah. That is marvelous, Dr. Kelly. You know, that's... It's so neat because of the fact that you had the x-rays and things, and you know, and then here's the change. But God is the greatest chiropractor of all, amen. You can't beat him as the great physician, hallelujah. And it's so wonderful to see that you're praying like that, and even rebuking spirits. Of course, in the deliverance ministry, as we are, we see the spirits of destruction all the time. The destroyer is a very common spirit. It's right in there with the spirit of death, you know. Well, we know they come to kill, destroy, and steal, John 10:10. So you can figure all of those are pretty heavy, big ones, you know, strongholds in people, strong men of the house many times. So how neat that you are practicing what you've been taught in the medical area, but also practicing what the Word has showed you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for being on the program today.
Thank you. It's been a delight to be here. I just pray for this ministry to continue and prosper in Jesus' name.
We receive that. God bless you. I'd like to welcome Dr. John Schaff to the program. Good to have you, Doctor. Nice to be here. I'm going to call you John, since we've gotten rather acquainted here, and as we ministered to him and enjoyed the fellowship with my brother. And John, let me get some background on you, some spiritual history. When were you born again?
In 1976. I went to a revival out at Metro Church, and I accepted the Lord that evening. It was good, and I've been growing ever since.
How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 1977, about a year after I was saved.
So your Christian walk has been gaining momentum all along, no doubt, and yet, how is it you happen to be on a deliverance program today?
I felt as though I had some attacks from Satan, where he was coming against me and my business physically, and I prayed about it, and I felt as though the Lord led me to you to be delivered, and that's why I came.
What made you suspicion that you might be having some attacks of the other side, John? And I'm sure there's listeners out there that are wondering that same question and probably are having some attacks themselves. Since at this point in my growth, it appears to me that the majority of people probably are bothered with these things from time to time and probably need some ministry. I certainly do from time to time in the continuing process of it all. But how is it you suspicioned they might be demonic?
Through Christian fellowship in our kinship at church and getting into the Word, the Holy Spirit told me that it was Satan, you know, that it wasn't, you know, that person over there, this person, that it was actually Satan causing these things to happen and coming against me.
Okay, would you be comfortable in sharing, John, more specifically some of the types of things that were going on in your life, do you recall?
Sure. I had a spirit of fear. Let me think. Spirit of anxiety. I also had some inflictions where neck pain and headaches and back pain. And, I mean, I had that for, I'd say, 5 years.
Which is a little ironic in some ways, since you are a chiropractor.
Yes.
And so I guess the other side was getting some chuckles out of that, trying to torpedo you with some back pain.
Definitely. He sure was. The headaches and neck pain and back pain were almost constant on a daily basis. And since the deliverance, I mean, I feel fantastic. I mean, no more neck pain or back pain or headaches. I mean, it is fantastic.
What happened in your deliverance, John? How do you know these things were coming out?
When I was going through deliverance, I could actually feel the evil spirit of the pain in my neck and back. And it would move around. It went down my arm and back up, and then it went down my back and back up. And with your help and the Holy Spirit and the Lord, we got that evil spirit out, and it finally left.
Yeah, as I remember, it kind of hung up, didn't it? And
yeah.
Moved around like you were describing. And now I know to the listener that who is not initiated to this is probably amazed to hear such a thing. And yet, anyone that's doing deliverance sees this is a rather common thing. Many, certainly at least half of the people we minister to, probably more than half, will feel these things moving around inside as you start ministering. And particularly the fellow that, again, is not initiated to it, that's not been around it, that's perhaps a little skeptical in the beginning anyway, it really is amazing to the person to feel something like that, you know, moving around. Were you skeptical at all, John, when you came in, or you just always kind of felt it probably was demonic activity?
I felt it was demonic activity. And when you did the introduction here at the class that evening, I could feel them stirring in my stomach. I could. I was a little bit nervous. I was a little bit uneasy. But I knew this is what the Lord wanted.
That's interesting you should say that, because that's not uncommon either when you're teaching about deliverance. The people sitting out there, a certain number of them will feel something sort of churning right in the middle of the gut of your stomach. And some people have such a problem with the spirits squirming and speaking to them, they can't even get to the meeting in the first place. The things will whisper and talk them out of it. They'll keep saying, "Don't go up there." People will think you're crazy, or, you know, they'll say all kinds of things to the person to talk them out of it. And a certain number are talked out of it. It's sad, but it happens. And those that get here may be like yourself, as you get into the teaching and just talking about the power by the blood of Christ Jesus, those things get to squirming, and, you know, they know they're getting ready to get foreclosed. And praise God, we're foreclosing by the blood here. I can say that and use those terms since I'm in the mortgage business. You see, it goes hand in hand. So anyway, John, you could feel them coming out then, and then that back pain spirit came out finally after lodging in your neck, as I recall, for a little bit, and then finally it blew on out. And what about some of the others? Could you feel them or hear them or anything?
I couldn't hear them, but I could feel them. I could tell when they left. Because after I was delivered of all the evil spirits, I mean, it's just like being set free. I mean, it's just like, well, it's a better feeling than when you were born again. I mean, it was such a wonderful feeling, and I feel that every day. I mean, it's fantastic.
How long has it been now since your deliverance?
Month and a half. Month and a half. And it's fantastic.
Oh. And you're able to read the word you were telling me like you couldn't before.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't put it down. I read every night right before I go to sleep, and I find myself, you know, reading for an hour. You know, I mean, I just can't put the word down. It's fantastic.
Would you say your ministry is growing and gaining momentum now like never before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
You see, that gets back to Mark 16:17 again, why Jesus told believers in his name to cast demons out right and left. Because why? Those things are on assignment to block one's ministry. You were so bogged down with your back pains and other things that were going on, the heaviness and everything, that you didn't even feel much like talking about Jesus probably before. Is that a fair assumption?
That's true.
And so now that you're free, you're on fire.
I'm on fire for the Lord. Yes, I can talk freely about him, and there's nothing holding me back. It's fantastic. I would recommend this to anybody that felt as though they needed it, that had the problems that I had, because I tell you, it's fantastic to go through deliverance.
Well, that's the point. If he'll set one free, he will set you as a listener free. Dr. John Schaff, thank you for sharing, brother, and how Jesus has set you free and you're moving ahead in your ministry.
Thank you very much, Everett.
Well, here on the show today with me, I'd like to welcome Dr. Buddy Huffmeyer. Good to have you, Buddy.
Thanks.
Great to have you on the telephone with me and to interview you. You've seen some exciting things happen in your life along the way, haven't you?
I sure have. That's been great.
Would you say it is high adventure?
Extremely high adventure.
That's certainly been my experience as well. And while you are a podiatrist, and you still do some surgical work there on feet, I guess, is that correct?
Well, I just retired in December.
Okay.
And now I'm the CEO and president of Surgery Centers of America.
And developing surgical centers and even moving into hospitals.
Right, now we're moving into hospitals.
So you're in the business world, but also you're in the spiritual world, as you've noted.
That's true, absolutely true.
And I know you're experiencing, yes, like we just mentioned, the greatest fulfillment, the greatest high adventure seems to come in the spirit world. Would you agree?
No doubt about it. In fact, it's just amazing what all God does for us.
Well,
and for me especially.
Dr. Huffmeyer, how long ago was it, how far back that you were born again?
I was born again at age 33, and it was at Metro Church in Oklahoma City.
Uh-huh.
And I gave my life to the Lord back then, and it's been fabulous ever since. Ups and downs, and you know, there's always problems, but, you know, you always know who you can turn to.
Well, a few tribulations, as we read about, I guess we're all have some of that, but we also read where we're overcomers.
That's exactly
through
right.
Him. Amen?
Okay, amen.
Well, Dr. Huffmeyer, so you were born again. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues? When did that happen?
That happened about 4 years later, approximately 4 years later. And we had some friends of ours that went to Metro Church, and we really didn't know much about it. I came out of a Methodist background, so did my wife, and we got into City Church, which more was a Bible church, and then, you know, at the church, we started going in more into, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, and we just were interested in it, and you know, we just wanted to seek what God wanted for our lives, and we were really open. We came in open. When we got born again, it was just one of those things. We just wanted all that God had for us, and so we went to church and started learning more and learning more, and then we had some friends come over to our house one night and prayed with us and was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
You know, our Jesus loves us to be open. Amen.
Amen.
Because
that's what we wanted. We just want to be open to Him.
Yes, and He has so much for us, way beyond the particular doctrines of our individual groups, it seems.
Yeah.
There's always so much more to learn.
That's right. And that's what we're just, and you know, when you're willing to open yourself up, then He's willing to meet you.
Amen. Well, your wife, Cynthia Huffmeyer, of course, is a renowned Bible teacher and minister herself.
That's right. She just preaches all over the world, just about, seems like. She goes to different states, and she has all kinds of Bible studies around Oklahoma and lectures all around Oklahoma and other states. And she's just, she loves the Lord, and she loves to teach what she's learned about Him.
And through her, you've actually had some interesting experiences where you've seen some deliverance take place. How about sharing some of that?
Well, I've had several of those, and you know, I really didn't know much about that either. And I came home one night, and she wanted me to come in and pray with her over somebody that she was trying to deliver from some demonic strongholds, and this lady started manifesting herself, and she would, you know, be praying against it, and I was praying with her, and it went on for a couple of hours, and she'd already been praying with her for about an hour or two, and I was just absolutely unbelievable.
What went on? What happened?
Well, she'd prayed with her, and she would just manifest, and the demon would be delivered, and we were through, and
it actually talked through her mouth.
Well, she'd do that, or just she could just feel it coming out her top of her head, or it just happened. This lady was totally exhausted, just dripping sweat, and they were talking, and they said, "Well, looks like we've done everything." And my wife started going through, we've gone through this stronghold and that stronghold, da 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 da. And then finally, she mentioned the fear, and all of a sudden, she started manifesting again. And she was over there just talking, relaxed. And when she mentioned fear, the demon raised up again. And she said, "Oh, we have another spirit. We have the spirit of fear is not gone." So anyway, she prayed over, and we got that spirit out, and she was relieved, and the lady's life has absolutely been changed around.
That's our Jesus setting the people free.
And absolutely.
You know, many Christians have never seen this type of ministry, this works of Jesus that He told us to do so clearly. They've never seen this kind of thing happen. And I was age 44 before I ever saw it, and I was born again when I was 13.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I'd never seen it before, and it was just, and I've seen it several times since then. And and I know that not every time anybody manifests, but the four that I've been around, three of them have been the people have manifested and when they're, you know, casting out the demons. And their voice changes, their veins pop out, their whole facial expression changes, and it's just been unbelievable what I've seen.
Something you'd kind of expect to see in the Hollywood movies.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, just blows everybody away. And I'm as surprised as anybody, and I've been at it since 1978, and still an amazing thing. But the exciting part about it is that the people's lives are turned around, and those tormenting areas are now gone.
Well, I think that's even more dramatic than the manifestation that these people go through. I mean, their lives literally are changed. I mean, they talk about, you know, seeing things and hearing things in their mind, and you know, people, you know, like somebody's talking to them. But I mean, their lives, once this happens, I mean, these three people that I know of, their lives have been dramatically changed. Dramatically. I mean, where they were just, you know, ready to commit suicide almost, to the point of just out in service and loving people and just totally committed to the Lord. And it's just
180 degree change.
I mean, 180. I mean,
yes.
People don't recognize them. I mean, they're just not by their looks, just non-recognizable by the way their life has changed.
Well, that's our Jesus. Well, Dr. Huffmeyer, you even had a personal experience concerning your back, perhaps a spirit of infirmity of the back in ministry. Could you share that quickly?
Well, I had pulled a muscle or dislocated my back somehow. I could not even walk. I couldn't walk. Couldn't get out of bed. I was just, I've had muscle pulls and torn muscles, but I've just never had anything quite like this. And I'd gone to a chiropractor, and he didn't seem to really be able to help me much. And, you know, I'd just been taking muscle relaxers and heating pads, and I mean, I just was it was just miserable. I couldn't sleep, couldn't hardly breathe, and was pretty much down, because this had gone for about 3 or 4 days. And it, you know, usually when I hit something like that, it would happen, you know, a couple of days, and it's over, and I'm okay. And I mean, it's been 3 or 4 days, and I was just miserable. And you came over one night and said you want to pray for me. And I said, that's fine. You know, I'm pretty miserable. I mean, nothing that can't hurt. And
my price was real good, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't one.
And then, you know, you prayed for me, and you said, pull out your legs. I'm going to lengthen your legs. And I said, that's fine. And you prayed for me for the legs to lengthen out. And I said, okay. And all of a sudden, it looked like they were straightening out a little bit. And I said, well, that's kind of funny. And you said, well, it looks like it's lengthened out to me. Why don't you get up and walk? And I said, well, I can't stand up. My back is killing me. And he said, well, go ahead and get up and see how it feels. And I mean, I stood up, and I had no more pain from that time on.
Praise
was
God.
Absolutely amazed.
Well, that's our Jesus again. Amen.
Amen.
The total healer.
I think I was more shocked than anybody. I wasn't expecting it, I think. You know, you just don't know what to expect.
Your faith wasn't real strong at that point.
When you're that far down, you just don't really have a lot of faith.
Yeah, you're pounded down with the pain.
Yes.
Yeah. And even your son, Chad, had an experience that was similar that very time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You did the same thing for him, and his pain went immediately away.
He had a short leg as well, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of those, and backs healed accordingly. When the short leg grows out, or short arm, sometimes the upper back area, and the short arm will grow out, the healing seems to come. It's just,
yes.
But what's neat is it isn't a special gift. This is normal Christianity, all of this that we're talking about. This is for all Christians to do. We all can do it if we just will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you I'm shocked by it, because I'm a doctor and I'm in medicine, and you know, my belief is, you know, medicine's going to cure this. And if it doesn't, then, you know, it can't be cured. And when you came to pray for me, it was really, well, that's fine. Prayers that can't help me. You know, I love prayer, and that'll be great. But I had no expectations. And to be totally healed was just absolutely amazing to me.
Amen. Well, we serve an amazing God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Buddy Huffmeyer, thank you so much for being on the show and giving that testimony on what you're seeing God doing and what the Lord has done in your life.
Well, I do appreciate you calling.
God bless you.
God bless.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.